Truly, we are living in exciting times. As I said earlier today, exciting times for people who know who they are in Christ. Perilous times for people who don't. And so what I have in my heart to share tonight dovetails with what we talked about earlier today about the importance of managing fear that comes against all of us in these last days, oppression and fear and terror, okay? The Bible says they will assemble, but not from God, but he gives us all of the means and all of the tools to successfully keep all of those things at bay so that we can continue to function for the Lord in a place of confidence and strength, spiritually speaking, rather than from a place of fear and dread and double-mindedness. Okay? Now, tonight I want us to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. If you have your Bibles or your Bible device, whichever you're using here tonight, find 1 Chronicles chapter 28, and we're going to look at verse numbers 9 and 10, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, unless otherwise indicated, okay? So we're going to talk about something that is very, very important for each and every one of us in the body of Christ in the last days, and we're going to start by looking at what David was telling his son Solomon about the importance of completing the task that Solomon was instructed to do. It says in the 9th verse, this is David talking to Solomon, "As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. So if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Nike did not come up with the "just do it" slogan. God came up with this a long time before they ever came along. He told Solomon, "I'm giving you an assignment. I want you to build for me a sanctuary. Don't tell me what you can't do. Don't give me excuses why it can't be done. I want you to be strong and do it. Get it done." In the Bible, there are certain verses that I just gravitate to. I've been at this for 36 years, most of it overseas in the Philippines. And there are certain verses and certain statements that I just love to go back to and meditate upon. And this is one of them right here. All of us, you need to know, we need to know that we are in the construction business. All of us. We're here to build the kingdom of God. Okay, now in his day, his assignment was to actually build a building like the one we're in here this evening. Okay, his assignment was to build a sanctuary for the Lord. And so he was tasked with the job of completing that construction assignment. For us, it's spiritual, not necessarily buildings per se, although we need those, of course. But in a broader sense, in a spiritual sense, we are instructed by God to build and to establish the kingdom of heaven and drive out and destroy the kingdom of darkness. It's a spiritual assignment, but it's still a construction assignment. And in order for that to be accomplished in our areas of assignment, where you are here or where he sends me, wherever I go, we have to be strong to do it. You can't just do what you need to do because you love the Lord. You have to have the strength necessary to do what you're instructed to do. This is what David told Solomon, and it's what God is telling all of us here tonight. Be strong and do whatever it is I'm telling you to do. Because if I'm telling you to do it, you can do it. I wouldn't tell you to do it if I knew you couldn't. So by the fact that he tells us to do things, by the very fact he's telling us to do it, it means we've got the wherewithal to do it and to complete the task, not to falter and fall away. When I first came to the Philippines in September of 1980, there were many, many people, even in the U.S., not just there, but here too, who were doing great things for God, but over time, they have all faltered and fallen away. Not all, but many of them. Okay, people who used to occupy the cover of Christianity Today or Charisma Magazine or whatever, you know, the spotlight was shining brightly upon them in the 1980s. If you're around long enough to see, you'll see many of these people fall away for different reasons. We don't need to get into any of that here tonight. But the point is, they never had the strength to finish what they started. They thought they did, but they didn't really. Okay? You need to know that whatever we're told to do by God, there's going to be a level of spiritual strength necessary to complete the task. Because everything we do for the Lord will be contested by the devil. Nothing will be done without resistance applied against us. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
no matter how much we love the Lord, the devil is not going to just stand there and let us go do whatever we want to do for the Lord. He's going to try and stop us in any way he can. Through financial catastrophe, through sickness, through disease, through marital problems, through economic disasters, whatever. He doesn't care. Just shut the machine down. That's what he's after. Okay? So we need to keep that in mind, because I'm going to take you now to a passage in Luke which will reveal to us in specifics exactly how God sees us, because how he sees us is how we need to see ourselves. Okay? It's not how you see yourself. It's not how other people see you. It's how God sees you that really counts. Because we'll stand before his judgment seat someday, not your neighbors, not your friend, not your auntie, not your uncle. You'll stand before the Lord. So it doesn't really matter what other people think about us. It just matters what God says. So if he tells us to be strong, I need to know what that means and how to get there and how to stay there. Okay? It's one thing to get there. To stay there for the rest of your life is another task altogether. As I mentioned, I've been at this now since September of 1980. This month is 36 years for me overseas. I've seen ministers come. I've seen them go. I've seen ministries rise. I've seen them fall. I intend to finish the race I started to run all those many years ago. I am going to stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How about you? I mean, there's enough problem down here. We don't need to go to heaven and then hear, you know, something less than "well done, good and faithful servant." For a lot of us, when we get up there, instead of hearing "well done, good and faithful servant," we're going to hear, "Well, where'd you disappear to for 30 years? What happened to you? You were running well." That's what Paul told the Galatians. You were running well. Who tripped you up? Okay? So again, hurdles are always in our way. The devil sees to it that hurdles are placed in our way. You have to be strong enough to plow through each and every one of them and keep your heading and stay in your lane and finish the race that God ordained for you to run. So having said all of that, let's go to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start reading in the 14th verse. So I hope you have found that by now. Luke chapter 11 and the 14th verse. This is Jesus in action. This is his ministry at work here, okay? And then we're going to see some things that the Holy Spirit wants for us to see. Now, bear in mind that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were all inspired by the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, they didn't really write it. They were used by God to write it, but it's the word of God. It's not the word of Luke. It's not the word of Mark. It's not the word of Isaiah. It's the word of God. But in John's gospel, at the end of the book, he says, if we tried to chronicle all the miracles and everything that Jesus did in 3.5 years, the books of the world could not contain them all. So what we have in the four Gospels are hand-selected stories by the Holy Spirit. Each and every story is in there for a reason. Nothing is just in there because he needed to fill up space. He selected stories. He selected miracles so that whatever is in that story, whatever is in that parable, can be applicable for us today. Okay? So, 14th verse. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. And so it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. 15. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. Verse 20. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. 23. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. He's not yet done. Verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. When he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That whole passage contains three distinct parts that we're going to identify here tonight. Things that you need to know, things that I need to know in order to finish the job, whatever the job may be, that God has assigned us to complete while we're on earth. Everybody has assignments from the Lord. Do you understand? No Christian just sits around with nothing to do. Every Christian, if they're listening to God, has got something to do that he wants them to accomplish, their task, their assignment, whatever it may be. Some big, some small, some we can see, some are covert operations. It doesn't matter. God sees everything. But everybody has something to do. Okay? So, whatever it may be, we need to be strong to do it, just like David said to Solomon. But let's take it one step further. Let's get a little bit deeper into this. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants for us to see. First of all, the first part of this passage would be verses 14 through 20. 14 through 20, that's part one. That is ministry in action. This is Jesus casting a spirit out. And the spirit was mute, the Bible says. So when the spirit was cast out, the person could speak. All right. Now, first of all, we are here to fulfill the Great Commission. Every single Christian anywhere on the planet is here to fulfill their part in completing the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. No matter where we are, what country, culture, race, creed, doesn't matter. That's the assignment. All right, now, different people in different places, different cultures, the methods may change, but the assignment never changes to go and preach the gospel. So here's Jesus fulfilling his part, casting that spirit out. Now, the word cast means to throw forcibly. Jesus did not ask for permission. Jesus did not ask the demon if he liked to go or if he wanted to stay. He took the demon and cast him out. Would you agree with me? The demon didn't want to go. He was forced out. He was forcibly, spiritually speaking, thrown out. That's what the word cast means. When we talk about casting out spirits, that's what we're doing. We're forcibly throwing them out of a possession they don't want to leave. Okay, so this is what we're doing. We're doing the same thing Jesus is doing, just in different ways, with different people, in different circumstances. But basically, we're here to set the captives free. People who can't set themselves free from sin and from bondage and from drug addiction and from pornography and all the other things that get hold of people, we're here by the power of God in the name of Jesus to set them free. The preaching of the gospel, the laying hands on people, the declarations of in the name of Jesus come out, all the things we're instructed to do. That's the first part of this. We're going to do that just like he was doing that here, okay? Then he starts talking about kingdoms because people are criticizing him for what he's doing. Always remember, no matter what you do for the Lord, the religious people will always line up to criticize. Mark it down. Satan will make sure they find you. Okay? People claiming to be Christian, but they wouldn't recognize Jesus if he sat next to them for an hour. The point is, you know, they think they are, but they're actually tools of the devil, and they're there to try and stop you, just like they were for Jesus. So he starts talking to them about kingdoms. Kingdoms divided against themselves are brought to desolation. If Satan's kingdom is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Okay? So he's talking about deliverance. He's talking about the methods of reaching people, setting people free, and the religious persecution that comes when we do. Okay, that's part one. Then part two, and this is the crux of the story here. He shifts gears in verse number 21 and starts comparing two different types of men. He says in verse number 21, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. Now, who's he talking about? Remember, in context, what has just happened? He just cast the spirit out. Then he starts talking about a strong man, fully armed, guarding his own palace. His goods are in peace. Then he says in verse 22, but when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him, that would be the strong man, all of his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Okay? Now, in the context of what we just read about Jesus casting a spirit out, who is he talking about? You know, he's not a schizophrenic speaker. He's not jumping around from topic to topic with no cohesiveness, no coherence. He knows exactly what he's doing. He is trying to teach the listener what's going on in the spirit realm when we are casting spirits out and setting people free in the name of Jesus. In the context of the story, everybody, the strong man is the devil. And when his goods are in peace, he's got no problems because no one can take what he has got bound up. until the stronger man comes. The stronger man is you and me. We're the stronger man. See, back in 1 Chronicles, it talked about the strong man, okay? You have to be strong to finish. But taking it one step further, we are facing the strong adversary, so we have to be stronger than he is. That's what we are. When you got saved, when you accepted Jesus, you became the stronger man or stronger woman, either which, because the Holy Spirit took up residence inside of you. Amen. Doesn't the Bible say greater is he in us than he that's in the world? Well, that's news to many Christians because they're not living like it. They're not acting like it. They're acting like the devil's the big bad bully and can push people around anytime he wants because he can. When it's exactly the opposite, we should be the ones pushing him around anytime we want because we can. Do you think he wants to get pushed around? No. Do you think he wants to get cast out? No. Do you think he wants his kingdom to be torn down? No. But he can't stop the stronger man because the stronger man, according to Jesus, takes from the strong man anything he wants when he wants. Why? Because he's stronger. It's not rocket science here. How many remember, I went to a Catholic school, St. Clair's in Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Browns. Pray for me. And, every recess, man, you know, this is grades 1 through grade 8 back then. They had grades 1 through grade 8, and they've done different things since then. But then it was grade 1 through grade 8. Anyway, we'd have recess from, you know, about 12:20 after lunch to about 1 o'clock. They'd let everybody out into the playground area, which was the parking lot, but it was the playground for us. And, you know, kids just ran around, ran off steam for 40 minutes, and then they put them back in class for the afternoon sessions, and then we went home. My recess time was never a time of joy with my friends. I was always hiding behind the trees because in my class, maybe it was the same for you, but there was always one or two kids that should have been 5 grades ahead for whatever reason. They were held back. You know, they were on the football team, but they're in the 5th grade. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, it was like that for me. So this guy, I remember his name, Ian. Ian was his name. You know, he just enjoyed beating up on all the rest of us because he knew he could. And he spent recess chasing everybody around, getting them down on the ground, you know, and jumping on top of them and pounding them around for a while, you know, because he knew he could. And we knew he could, so we spent all of our recess hiding behind the rocks and the trees. You know, recess for me was a time of terror. You know, it was not a happy time for me. I hated it. I wanted to stay inside and just chew on my sandwich for another 40 minutes. But no, they threw me out there. So I had to defend myself. Well, I couldn't, because he was stronger than me. He was the schoolyard bully, and everybody knew it. He knew it, and we knew it, and he acted accordingly, and so did we. But in the spirit realm, it's the same thing, except now we're the stronger man. We're the schoolyard bully. We get to push the devil around. We get to torment the devil. You know, it's such a tragedy. I can't stand to see so many people in the body of Christ hunkering down in fear of the enemy, in fear of the devil, when we have been given every tool, the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, the gifts of the Spirit. Angels are in this room right now, thousands of them. They're all here at our disposal. The devil should be running for cover from us instead of us running for cover from him. We are the stronger man. We take what we want. See, don't ask for permission. You just kick the door down and take what you want and leave him with nothing. The strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, and as long as no stronger man comes along, his goods are in peace, because the man in the jail cell can't get himself out. Okay? And the strong man knows that. You know, the sinner can't set himself free from his sins. The drug addict can't set himself free from the addiction and whatever else. It takes the power of God. Well, guess what? We've got the power. Amen. Amen. We've got it. Instead of fighting among ourselves, we should be turning all of that anger and all of that resentment toward the enemy, the real enemy, who's the devil. He's the one binding people up. Go after him in the spirit realm. And then Jesus makes this statement in verse 23. This seemingly is an odd statement that doesn't fit. He says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." What is that? What's that mean? Where's that coming from? He's talking about, you know, casting out spirits and then divided kingdoms, and then he's talking about a strong man and a stronger man, and then he says this. This doesn't seem to fit. But in the context of what we're reading and what the Holy Spirit is putting together for us by the hand of Luke, here's what he's trying to tell us. if we are members of the body of Christ, but we don't know that we're the stronger man or the stronger woman, we can't live like such. And if we can't live like such, we actually become a spiritual liability to the rest of us. We become a problem and not a solution. We become an issue that has to be dealt with over and over again. We become the person who's in the counseling room over and over for the same stuff over and over again, year after year after year. We're someone's dead weight on the back of somebody trying to move forward for God. We are the log that we're dragging behind us. Are you listening? We're the liability. He who is not with me, he who does not understand he's a stronger man, is actually working against me. He who does not gather with me actually scatters. And this is what you see in churches all the time. A bunch of people who should be the stronger man, the stronger woman, kicking the devil around from pillar to post. Instead, they're fighting amongst themselves all the time over things that don't matter for a spiritual hill of beans. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
That's what's going on. And Jesus says, listen, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not acting like, talking like, and living like a stronger man or a stronger woman, you are actually a spiritual liability to me. I've got to spend all my time taking care of you rather than having you out on the front line setting people free in my name. And anybody in ministry can tell you, 90% of the counseling sessions that people have to endure don't need to be, because the people being counseled should have got the counsel one time, got the verses to cover the situation, use those verses, and set themselves free in the name of Jesus. Amen. But to keep coming back for the same thing over and over and over, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. And what a slap in the face to Jesus. Are you listening? I tell my people, my pastors, they do this once. They come in once. And we have, like I mentioned, 150 plus. Ethel said we have more than that, but I'm not sure exactly how many. So I try to be conservative and say we got 150 churches. So I've got pastors. I don't have church members. I've got pastors. So they come to me, sheep, you know, leading the shepherd and the shepherd, whatever. And so they're coming in with problems. And so they'll do this the first time. And then after that, they'll never do this again. Because like I said earlier today, I'll listen to this for about 15 seconds. And once we get the gist of where we're going, I'll say, okay, I understand. Here are the verses that cover your situation. Go do what this verse says to go do. See me in 6 months. There's no reason to circle wagons for 45 minutes. You don't have to tell me your whole life story. You don't have to tell me where you've been and what you've done and, you know, the color of your cat and all these other things. Nobody cares. What you need to do is just get to where we need to go. What's the situation? Tell me what it is. I'll give you the verses. And here's my counsel. Do what that verse says. Be warm, be filled, and be gone. No, it's not the loving, stroking thing, but it is who I am. It is what, listen, at the end of the day, you're going to have to do the verse anyway, whatever the verse may be that covers the situation. So why circle the wagons for 5 years? Just go do it. You know, people that come along with financial problems, the first question I'll ask them is, do you tithe? Well, Apostle, I should. No, I didn't ask if you should. I said, do you? Well, I know I'm intending to. I know my pastor tells me to. My mom did. But you don't know my situation. No. Do you tithe? Well, no. Well, counseling is now finished. Here's my counsel. Tithe. Start today. 10% off the top, give it to God. The windows of heaven will be open for you. Blessings will be poured out upon you. The devil will be rebuked for your sakes. And you'll be a person who's financially independent of a situation, and you have some means to give to somebody else. Go on. Be warm, be filled, and be gone. Tithe. 10%. I mean, where else are you going to go? It's, you know, whatever. But the point is, you got to understand that at the end of the day, it's your strength that gets the job done. The devil is very strong, very committed, and very dedicated to the destruction of your soul. And you have to be stronger than he is. That is the end of the game. That is the end line, bottom line statement. You have to be stronger. The good news is, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, you are. And, you know, the adjustment for most Christians is start acting like it. Start thinking like it. Start talking like it. And get a little bit indignant about what the devil's doing to ruin your home and to wreck your marriage. Go after the devil. Don't sit there and let him go into your house and just do whatever he wants to do. Amen? Which then brings us to the third part of this, verse 24 through 26. When an unclean spirit goes out, or more accurately, gets kicked out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. He actually ends up worse off at the end. More in bondage than he was when the stronger man came along and set him free. Why? Because when he got set free, after he got set free, he didn't do what he needed to do to shore up his defenses, put up those spiritual walls, get into the Bible, read and study and pray, and become the stronger man or woman himself or herself. So because of that, in time, the spirit that got cast out comes back to check out what's going on. And when he finds, according to the story, the house is swept and put in order. The person's been cleaned, cleansed, forgiven of his sins. Everything is in order. The furniture's where it should be. You know, the dishes are all put away. The house is cleaned up, you know, but the front door's open. You know, when you go to work in the morning, don't you lock the door when you leave the house? Why do you lock the door when you leave the house? Because you know there's people out there who would take what you have if they could get in. So you lock the door, okay? You buy things because you need things. You know, the washer, the dryer, the dishes, the TV, whatever's in your house, you have it there because you need it or want it or whatever, and you don't want someone to take it away. So when you leave the house, you lock the door. What Jesus is saying is, listen, no matter what the stronger man can do to help, if the person who got set free doesn't do what they need to do to get in a position where they can defend what God has given to them, the devil will come back as the thief that he is and not only rob them all over again, but make the situation worse than it already was. And they'll end up worse off than they were at the beginning. He'll come in there and take everything away and bring with him seven of their spirits worse and more evil than he is. This is what's going on down here on earth. It's not about, you know, my job. It's not about a career. It's not about where I'm going to go to college. It's about surviving in a world at war. You and I were born into a world at war. We didn't ask for this. We were born into it just because we exist. We are loved by God and we are hated by the devil. That is the way things are. And it's not going to change. No matter how well-intentioned we may be, you have friends and you have enemies just because you exist. God loves you, sent Jesus to the cross for you, for me, and for all of us. Satan hates your guts, and he gives you no quarter and shows you no mercy. You cannot afford to leave your door open, because if you do, he will come back in and tear it up, just like he did before, only worse. Okay? And I tell people, listen, if you don't understand the gravity of the situation, you're not the stronger person that you need to be. And the devil will come along and take possession of you in different ways. You know, a lot of people are neutralized in the body of Christ and don't even know that they are. They're saved and they're in church on Sunday morning, but they're of none effect for the kingdom of God. They're just a brother blend-in or a pastor popular. They're just trying to be friends with everybody, make friends with everybody, don't rock anybody's boat, don't make any waves. That's not what we're all about. Jesus wasn't that way. Everywhere he went, he stirred up controversy. Amen. He was not the friend of everybody. There were some who loved him, and there were many who hated him. They killed him at the end because he made them so mad, they actually killed him for what he told them about them, you know, called them out, called them hypocrites, whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones, right in the front row in their church. Jesus was the guest speaker. They didn't like it. They didn't like it at all, man, and they killed him because of it. But the point is, you and I have to come to a place where we, as the stronger man or the stronger woman of God, take what we want from the devil. We don't ask for permission. I was sent to the Philippines, and that is my inheritance. Psalms number 2, verse 8 says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession." I have asked for the Philippines, and that is my territory, and I'm going to kick the devil out everywhere and anywhere I go. Amen. When I wake up in the morning, the devil is running for cover. You know, unlike the way it is for many Christians, when they wake up in the morning, they're so confused, they can't even find the floor, much less, you know, torment the devil. But the point is, we can change. You can change. I can change. We have the power of free will, the power of choice. It's the greatest weapon on earth, the power of choice. You don't have to let the devil kick you around anymore. You can pick up your weapons, like I mentioned earlier today, and torment the devil and use that sword and stick him with it. He comes against you 3 or 4 times and you do that consistently, he'll back off. He'll back off because he realizes you have found out. You are the stronger person. You are the stronger man. Amen. And you became the stronger man, not because of who you are or because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. He gave us all of this. He was the one that did the hard work. We just get to tag along and in his name do all of these wonderful things to set people free. All around you, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you interact with people, there are people in need and they're crying out for help, and you are the answer to their prayers. Wherever I go, I'm the answer to their prayers. When people cry out, you know, when they go on these tours, you know, Sheila can tell you, she was there in June with us. You knock on doors, people are hurting. And just the fact that you show up brings them hope. And it's amazing how open and ready they are to hear. The world is a ripe harvest field. Don't listen to anybody else who tells you it isn't. It is. It is a ripe harvest field. Your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, whomever it may be. And, you know, they've got all these walls up, you know, be careful, don't offend me and don't hurt me and don't insult me and don't hate me and all this. All these walls people put up. But at the end of the day, the love and the power of God can break through all of that and reach people at the core of their heart, where they need help, where they're crying out. They don't know which way to turn. They're looking for help in all the wrong places. The strong man has them bound, and they don't know how to set themselves free until the stronger man or woman come along. That's you, that's me. And in the name of Jesus, we let them know what they can become when they turn their heart over to the Lord. And if they're smart, and if they grow a brain, they'll accept Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior. And then we've got another convert, we've got another soldier on the front lines, and it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen? But the choice is up to you, just like the choice is up to me. Okay? I've made my choice. You know, when you do this, just understand you'll lose most of your friends. Understand that going in. Okay? Most of your friends are not your friends. They just think they are, and you think they are, but they're really not. Because anybody who takes you away from God or does not convince you to draw into the deeper things of God is not your friend. Oh, no, 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 no. Maybe they make you laugh. Maybe you like their company. Maybe they enjoy the same things you do. But at the end of the day, they're not your friends. You need to be very selective with who your friends are. Your friends need to be people who push the envelope in your life, who push you, challenge you, and help you go farther than you ever could go on your own. They are your friends. People who, when you're facing cancer, when you're facing terminal something or other, and the doctors have no answer for you, and they'll stand by you day and night, those are your friends. And you can probably count them on two hands or less. Real friends, people that you know will be with you till hell freezes over. Are you listening? You know, as for the others, you can continue to love them, pray for them, love them, but dump them in the name of Jesus and move on and find some real friends. Amen. That's why not too many people like me, but that's okay too. That's all right. Point being, we're running out of time, brethren. We're running out of time. Like I said earlier today, Jesus could be back today. And if he comes back today, I intend to give him a good report for the life I've lived. I don't want to stand there with excess baggage in my hand that I'm ashamed to bring before the judgment seat. Secret sins and a life of compromise and mediocrity because I was more concerned about how people perceived me rather than how my God perceived me. If I have to offend anybody, better to offend men and please God than to please men and offend God. If I have to make a choice. And that's what we need to do. We need to be about the Father's business, and that is what we're here to do. The stronger man takes what he wants. What do you want? What do you need from God? Take it from the devil. Don't ask for permission. Just strap on your helmet, exercise your authority. You need money? I heard $80,000 that you need. I agree with you that $80,000 plus additional income will find its way into your hands shortly in the name of Jesus, and consistently remain in your hands until Jesus comes. Amen. Why? Because we can. That's why. Because we need it. That's why. So we take it. We don't ask, we take it. The world, the wealth of the world is laid up for the just. It's just waiting to be taken. Most Christians are just pleading and praying and crying over these things instead of just standing up and kicking the door open and taking what the strong man's been holding. Just take it. He can't stop you. When you got saved, what could he do to stop you? Nothing. When you accepted Jesus, what could he do to stop you from making that decision? Nothing. If you decide to receive healing, what can he do tonight to stop you from being healed? Nothing. He can't. He wants to, but he can't because he's not the stronger man. We're the schoolyard bully now. Amen. We kick him around. We have fun beating up on him rather than the other way around. Wouldn't it more fun to torment the devil than being tormented by the devil? Living your life tormenting him is actually quite fun. Amen. Because all the hard work was paid for on the cross by Jesus. He paid the penalty. He paid in pain for my sins. Now I get to ride along and tag along for the benefit of it all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word. I thank you, Father, that we will understand everything on this earth is subservient to the principle of spiritual strength. He who is the strongest prevails. He who is the strongest and knows that they are, always prevail. Help us, Lord, to live our life in the light of that truth and to be truly emancipated and set free in the sense that nothing can stop us, no hurdle can deter us or delay or slow us down. We are on a mission. And we praise and we thank you, Lord, that we will finish the job, whatever that may be. We will be strong to do it because we've been tasked by the Holy Spirit to represent you in this part of the world or wherever this church has influence. We thank you, Father. I pray for every single person here under the sound of my voice, every member of this church, that they will have revelation knowledge imparted to them for this message here tonight, that they will leave this service, as we prayed earlier, Lord, stronger than when they came in here, with a fresh appreciation for what you died to give to us and who you made us to be. So that we can stand before you someday, Lord, with a long line of people behind us because we refuse to compromise and we refuse to be defeated. We kept going under fire, and all these people are there because of something we did in your name, something we said in your name, something we accomplished in your name. We thank you, Lord, for this. We give you the praise and the glory for this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. It is my will, says the Spirit of God, for all my children to walk in the light of the verses you have read tonight. It is my will and it is my plan to implement programs and outreach elements that are tailor-made to the fact that each and every Christian is a stronger man or a stronger woman in the name of Jesus. In the world right now, there is fear and darkness. People don't know which way to turn. People are looking for help and not finding any. It is my people, ordained and tasked by the power of the Holy Spirit, to go into all the world and represent me accurately. Do so with the power that I made available to you. Do so with the word that I give to you. Allow my Spirit to give you the words to speak and the power and the anointing to change men's lives, and it will be thus and so for you. Make yourself available, because it is in the availability that you will find all the answers to your problems. And it is in the availability that you will find the resources you need to complete the tasks and the assignments that I give to you. And it is your availability that will earmark you as a weapon of destruction in the name of Jesus. Someone that I can depend on in the clutch. Someone who can stand the test of time no matter what the enemy throws against you. You will not falter, you will not waver, you will not deter, nor shall you compromise. And I'm calling all my saints in these last days to understand this fact. I died to provide all of you with all of this, and I expect you to walk in the light of this. You have everything you need to be a success. You have everything you need to turn this city upside down, to turn this state upside down, and in fact, to turn this state and this world upside down wherever you are sent in my name. So see yourself the way I see you, says the Lord, and no good thing shall be withheld from you. And I shall make sure, and I shall give to you and make manifest to you all of the exceedingly great and precious promises that I have made available to you. The choice is yours. I've made my choice. I've declared and I've decreed. Now you walk in the light of that, says the Lord, and you will see the results of that decision in these last days, says the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Each and every person here, young or old, it doesn't matter. Single or married, educated, uneducated, it doesn't matter. We're always looking for excuses. There aren't any. Okay? We can all be used. Look at who Jesus used. Those 12 disciples were all uneducated blue-collar workers. They weren't executives somewhere. They were just common people, fishermen, tax collectors, people like that. Look what they did. Look where they went. Look how God used them. Okay? We need to stop looking for excuses and just accept the fact that in Christ we can do all things. We can go anywhere. We can do anything. We can take what we want when we want it. Why? Because we can. That's why. There's nothing more to it that you need to know. We can, because we're stronger than the devil. Amen. Thank you, Father. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus, this is your opportunity. I don't know, maybe all of you are church members and you're here, and I'm happy that you are. But maybe there's a visitor here tonight. Maybe someone brought a friend of a friend. Who knows? But God knows. And if you've never accepted Jesus, you need to do that tonight, because you could be dead before the sun comes up in the morning. You don't know. You could be killed in a car crash on your way home from service tonight. Death always comes, well, not always, but most of the time it comes at an unexpected time for people. And when it does, in most cases, those people are not ready to face God, and they step out into eternity lost, and they didn't expect it. The moment you die, you step out of your body. While you live in your body, you have the power of choice. But the moment you step out of your body, the power of choice is removed from you, and the choices you made in this life while you lived in this body are the choices that seal your eternal destiny forever and ever. If you start going down after you got, if you die and you depart from your body and you start descending, you know where you're going. The spirit knows immediately. You're going to hell. And everybody who starts down realizes what's happening. They know the truth, and they'll cry out to God for mercy, and they'll never get it. They'll cry out for Jesus, and they'll never hear him answer. It's too late. 1 second after you leave your body, you're gone and you're done. Don't let that happen to you. Don't assume you have a tomorrow when you don't know if you will or not. The Bible says that's a sin, to presume that you have a tomorrow when you're not there yet. All you have is today. You can't change the past. Forget about the mistakes made. You can't change that. And you're not yet at the future. You're not yet tomorrow. You can plan for it, but you're not there yet. All you've got is the moment. Now. Now is the accepted time. So if you need Jesus, take the opportunity while you can. Or if you need to come back to him, take the opportunity while you can. Don't be a fool and walk out these doors unprepared for eternity. Because every soul in hell, if they had one more chance to accept Jesus, they would all accept Jesus. But they'll never get that chance. Ever. Ever. Forever is a long time. Okay, so I'm going to count to three. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. No one looking around, please. Hey, listen, when you reach three, if I reach three and you need help, put that hand up high enough that I can see it. Don't be kind of inching it up and hope I don't see. Put that hand up there if you need help. Okay, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand so we can all look at you. None of that's going to happen, so don't get nervous about any of this. Just be honest with your life the way it is right now, because you're fooling nobody but yourself if you think you can get by living a mediocre, lukewarm, double-minded life. Okay? God knows what's going on, so please. I mean, he knows where you go. He knows what you think. He knows who your friends are. He knows the motives of your heart. You're not fooling him. So please, just be honest with yourself, okay? Do yourself a favor. I'll reach three. When I reach three, that's your moment of decision. Put your hand up, raise it up, and say, it's me, I need help, and then we'll pray together, okay? And then I'll tell you about what you can do after that. All right? One. Now remember, it's not a feeling. Don't search for feelings. Feelings come, feelings go. This is a decision. Okay? I choose. One, two, three. Put that hand up if I'm talking to you. Anybody here today? Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. One, two, three, four. Four hands I see. Anyone else? God bless you for your honesty. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Good. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? One more time. I'm going to look around. Four souls, four honest, brave, smart souls put their hands up. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. All right, let's all stand. We've been sitting for a little while. Let's pray together. Let's pray for the four who put their hands up. Pray with them. And if you should have put your hand up and didn't, it's not too late. You can still pray with me. It'll be just as good. The hand up doesn't mean anything. It just means I acknowledge I need help. Even if you didn't put the hand up and know you do, you can pray with us and it's still good, okay? The Bible says, with our heart we believe, with our mouth we confess. Our heart believes, our mouth confesses. So let's say something together. And if you did not put your hand up, please say this to support the people who did, okay? Because God loves them just like he loves you. So let's say this together. We're all talking to the Lord. Don't be thinking about where you're going for an ice cream cone after service. Don't be thinking about the time. You're talking to the Son of God. He's listening. Okay? Be reverent and realize who you're talking to. Okay? So be thinking about what else you're going to go for, you know, a snack after service and all that. Leave all that behind for a few minutes. Let's talk to Jesus now. He is listening. He's never too busy for this. Okay, let's say this together. You repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight, and I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, that you died on a cross, paid for my sins, and rose from the dead. Tonight I make a choice, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I receive my forgiveness, and I'm never looking back. Thank you, Lord. From this day forward, I serve you and you alone. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you prayed that for the first time or for the first time in a long time, congratulations. We're proud of you. Amen. And this church exists for you. That's why we're here. That's why we have a music department. That's why we have counseling. That's why we have young men, old men department. We have lots of departments, all for you. So please take advantage of the help. Okay, I tell people, you don't have to try to do this on your own. Please come back to service if you were here as a visitor. Please come back and make yourselves available to the Word of God. Sit in the services and be refreshed and edified and learn some things. Amen. Learn how you can be the stronger man and how you can be the stronger woman so that you can walk the life that Jesus died to provide. Amen. Don't leave and just disappear, because then it's you against the world and you have a stacked deck against you. You don't know as much as you need to know. Make sure you take advantage of your pastors and your leaders, and please come and make yourself available anytime the church doors are opened. Amen.